Book of Philippians. I've been, for the past couple weeks, been preaching through the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians is the book of Christian joy. And it's broken up into four chapters. Chapter 1 is about joy in prayer and joy in suffering. Chapter 2 talks about the joy in being humble, joy in obedience, joy in good company. Chapter 3 is all about the joy of looking forward. Chapter 4 talks about the joy in focusing and the joy of giving. But today we are in chapter 2. Man, we finally made it through chapter 1. Chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I am an empty vessel today. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom, give me knowledge to preach this message now. And I pray that the audience can be attentive. I pray that they could be good ground, that they may bear fruit. And I ask this in the precious, most holy name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Paul addresses an issue that he addressed in chapter 1. People were competing with one another to share the gospel. They were saying, I bet I could share the gospel better than you. I bet I can win more souls than you. I bet I can win more souls than Paul. They was turning it into a contest. But he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He's saying, be humble, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Brag on each other. Compliment each other. Quit complimenting yourselves. Swallow your pride. Show some humility. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Help each other. Support each other's ministries. But then he says, I'm going to give you an example. Look at our Lord. Look at our Lord. He showed humbleness. He showed humility in his life. It says in verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The Lord Jesus Christ is our God. He is our Lord. He is our shepherd. He is the head of the church. He is our king. He is our leader. Amen. But the Bible calls him a servant. He lived a life of servant leadership, and that is the mold of true leadership. Now understand this, the Lord Jesus Christ did not empty himself of his deity. He was fully God in human flesh. He was Lord God Almighty in human flesh. He left heaven, the comfort of heaven, and became a man. And he lived a humble lifestyle. And the Bible said that he lived the lifestyle of a servant. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to do an examination of the Lord's life and how he was humble and how we can follow his example. Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. My servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. We're in Isaiah 42. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. Now let's think about a bruised reed for a moment. Lots of times they would gather reeds to use for baskets and making things. And if they found a bruise on it, they would break it and discard it so that nobody else could accidentally pick it up. But it says, a bruised reed will he not break. Now who were the bruised reed in regards to people? The blind, the deaf, the dumb, the lame. He made the blind to see, didn't he? Amen. He made the dumb talk. He made the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk, and he made the cripple whole. Amen. People had given up on them. They were bruised reeds. Society had given up on them. But Jesus didn't. He healed them. A bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Whenever you blow out a candle, that flax is still smoking, isn't it? There's a little bitty spark still there. And he said he will not quench that smoking flax. Faith was such a small thing back then. People was ready to give up. They were under the rule of the Pharisees, and all them Pharisees were doing was taking advantage of them. And they are saying, where's a man of God? They were disappointed. Their faith was almost gone. And he says that a smoking flax shall he not quench. He stood up on the sermon on this mountain and preached the Sermon on the Mountain. He said, blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that weep or mourn, for they shall be comforted. Could you imagine being in that situation and then hearing that? A smoking flax will he not quench. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand. He held their hand, and he's holding your hand through life. And will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out of the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So he demonstrated servant leadership. He lived a life of pure service. And how should we follow his example? Turn with me to 1 Peter. Hold your place. Hold your place in Isaiah, though. And let's go to 1 Peter. We'll come back to Isaiah in a moment. First Peter chapter 5. Peter's giving instruction to the elders of the church, the leaders of the church. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being as lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Be an example. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Watch this word in verse 5. Likewise. Whenever that word shows up, likewise, what does that mean? Repeat what they're doing. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So how do you be a good leader? By service and humility. How do you be a good follower? By service and humility. So follow Christ in service and humility. Now there were people in Christ's time who did not do that. They were called the Pharisees. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, and that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments, and love the uttermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. Hello, Catholics. Call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So the Pharisees was not practicing servant leadership, and the Lord rebuked them for it. And in my years of preaching and everything, I get the privilege of meeting other preachers in various locations and everything, and I met a preacher one time who got offended because another preacher asked him, where do you serve? He got offended by that. If service is below you, leadership is beyond you. A person that gets offended by the title servant does not need to be in ministry. If the Lord himself called himself a servant, do you think you're better than the Lord? The Lord showed humility in his leadership. He also had humility in his status, his financial status. He was homeless. Matthew chapter 8. Let's turn back a couple pages. Jesus saith unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Lord Jesus Christ was homeless. He didn't have much money. Whenever he was going to pay his taxes, he told his disciples to go catch a fish. He opened up the mouth of the fish, pulled a coin out, and that's what he paid his taxes with. The Lord didn't have much money. But what is it that the lost world brags about the most? They're bragging about their money. And it's not wrong to have money, but it's wrong for money to have you. He also had humility in his appearance. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there shall be no beauty that we should desire him. He had humility in appearance. He wasn't here as a handsome guy. But children wanted to come to him. Whenever children wanted to come to him, his disciples was holding back. He said, suffer the children to come to me. Have you any of you ever seen a kid whenever you go to the mall and put him in the lap of Santa Claus? It's the end of the world, ain't it? No. You see it on the funny videos. They're scared of Santa Claus. But the Lord had joy in his humility. He was a jolly guy. He had a good attitude. And children are attracted to that. He had humility in his appearance. Today, people are lovers of themselves. They like to take selfies. Look how good do I look. They're just infatuated with themselves. And they can be terrible inside. They may look good on the outside, but they can be terrible on the inside. He also had humility in submitting to his father. Go to Matthew 26. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, that is the cup of wrath, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He was fully submitted to the will of the Father. Go with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Turn maybe just a page over, John chapter 6. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And there are Christians today that are running from their calling. They are far, far away from the will of God in their lives. The Lord tugs on your heart and says, I want you to do this, and we, no. Isn't that how a lot of us can be? I ran from my calling to preach for months before I submitted to the call to preach. I ran from my calling. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to make people mad. I didn't want to step on toes. I didn't want to do that. But the Lord pressed on me and pressed on me till I couldn't run from it no more. The associate pastor of the church that I was going to at the time, he preached a message on running from your calling. That congregation was as full as this room, but it felt like I was the only one there. Oh, it was like God had my number. He was pressing on me and pressing on me. And I was in my apartment, and I was reading, and I said, I can't go any farther. I can't go any farther. I can't run from my calling anymore. You gave it all for me. What can I do for you? Here I am, send me. Are you running from your calling? Are you running from the Lord? The next point is humility in love. The Lord showed humility in love. John 3:16, we all know the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He showed humility and love. How was that humiliating? He died a cruel, cruel death on a cross. He did it all in love. He loved you as he was getting beat with the cat of nine tails. He loved you whenever he carried your cross and my cross up Calvary's mountain. He loved you as they put that crown of thorns on his head. He loved you as the nails were drove into his hands, into his feet, as he lay there and suffered for hours, agonizing. He loved you. There's humility in love. He was a public display. People walking down the road could see him suffering on that cross, a cruel, cruel death. There's humility in love. He showed us just how much he loved us. But what's the nature of man? Pride. Pride. Proverbs chapter 16. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. My next point is our failure. Our failure in pride. Verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. What is the main reason why people decide not to get saved? Pride. They say, I'm a good person. My good will outweigh my bad. That's pride. I'll get saved later. That's pride. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 16, if any man will come unto me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Deny your own good works. Deny your ability to keep the law. You can't. Deny yourself. You can't save yourself. If you think you're good enough to go to heaven on your own, you have a pride problem. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you're too proud to accept Christ as your Savior, you will fall. Amen. Straight into a place called hell one day. And you will burn there forever. Because of your pride. There is joy in humility. Amen. Knowing that Christ paid it all for me and you. I couldn't save myself. He did it all for me. He did it all for you too. Amen. Are you trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, or is your pride in the way? Let us pray. Dear Lord, I gave the message that you weighed on my heart. And I pray that they can be faithful to respond to the tugging of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you bless the message, and I pray that you bless those who heard it. In Jesus' name, every head bowed and all eyes closed. If you're in here today and you're not sure that if you died right now you'd be in heaven, will you raise your hand? I saw no hands, but God knows your heart. I pray that you respond as the Spirit leads. Are you holding on to something that you need to give to the Lord? I invite you to come. We're about to give an altar call. And you respond as the Lord leads.